buckle up, Buttercup. Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts, podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Gloucestercast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your host, Joey Shimataro, and his crew of merry castaways. No piping plovers will be intentionally harmed in the production of this podcast.
What are you
doing? We're live.
We're live?
GloucesterCast 475.
Woo!
75.
The circle is here.
One third of our production is coming from Marathon Key, Florida.
Florida Mass.
We're going to do our introductions with Scotty Mack, top left.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Chris McCarthy.
Good morning, Gloucester!
Yow! Rush Steves.
Hey, everybody. In Florida.
Jay, John.
John.
John Oshaw.
Hey, everyone. Good morning.
From Florida Mass.
Did I introduce Jimmy?
No.
Jimmy Dalpiaz.
Hi.
Pat Dalpiaz on the keyboard.
Morning. Yep.
Joey Shimataro, your host off camera, and Paul Horowitz down the bottom, rounding out the cast.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, everybody. One big piece of little thing that I want to get out of the way right off the bat. If you share the podcast and comment shared, you'll be eligible for today's prize drawing. I'm not sure what it's going to be.
Creamer.
We got a creamer.
It's a creamer. This is a special
very value. Yeah. It's very value around here this morning.
It's a half and half delight.
Yep. So we got that going for us.
Which is nice.
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack.
Last night, Caddyshack was on.
Oh.
Watched it. Tried to get the kids into it.
That's one of those movies, Joey, where you're flipping through the channels, and no matter what part of the movie it's on, you have to stop. Go no further and finish that movie out.
100%. I don't know if there's a more quotable movie than Caddyshack. Can anybody think of a more quotable movie?
Well, probably Animal House. Probably a few from Animal House.
Yeah. Probably 10 with Bo Derek. And Jim, when you bring
up quotes or
anything with Bo,
you bring up Animal House. Wasn't that written or directed by the same guy?
Harold Ramis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Look at you.
What a career of Harold Ramis. Ghostbusters, Caddyshack.
Sure.
Wow.
Stripes.
And he was in Stripes, too.
There is a Bill Murray. There's a William Murray golf line that you can buy his clothes and the hat that's like from Caddyshack.
Can you smoke the bejesus out of it?
So the guy, what was the guy that ran the... Lou, was that the guy's name that ran the...
Lou's losing at the track.
Yeah.
Coke's up 50 cents.
If you see him in Caddyshack, and he's been in movies, there's, bit roles throughout. He was in Malcolm in the Middle as well. A bunch of things. He is an enormous butterball of a guy in Caddyshack. He's like a guy. Yeah.
Here's a fun fact for you, bringing it right home here to Gloucester. The guy that played Denunzo, lives in Magnolia.
We need to get him on the show.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Do you know him?
I know his son.
His son? Why?
He hangs around Gloucester, and he's worked in the restaurant industry, and we were by his house, and he says, his father's in the movies. And I said, well, which one? And I started quoting Caddyshack that night. And he goes, how do you know all my father's lines?
Oh, that is great.
And yeah, so he's right in Magnolia, right off of Ocean.
You've been holding this for me?
Yeah.
Because
it just comes up, and here it is.
Wow. That would be a blast.
We got to get him on. That's all there is to that. So we got a bunch of people that have chimed in so far. Ed Collins with us. Joanne Lynch with us. Joey Foote's with us, Berlino, Paula Ryan O'Brien, the birthday girl, is with us, Susan Casey Gibson is with us. This is the anniversary of the day when Paula, I think, was heading to
Ireland.
To the to the old country.
Yes, yes, it was one year ago.
You know, because I was leaving the day after her to go to Spain.
Yeah,
she was going there. Anyway, we have Michael DeCosta will be joining us in 40 as well. We should talk about Becca Rose too. Becca Rose Murray, if anybody saw the last podcast, use our votes for Inked Magazine's 2021 Cover Girl Contest. Pat's going to put up a link right now. And if you could vote, it doesn't cost you anything to vote, and you can vote daily. You got it, Pat?
Yep.
A little fun fact from Becca Murray. I DJed her wedding in Annisquam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, great time.
Well, she had nothing but nice things to say about you. Thank
you, Becca.
Hey, Joey, you can vote for free once a day, but if you want to make a donation to Music Cares, which is a fund that supports the musicians and artists, you get one vote for a dollar.
Can you put it up right now?
It is up. It's up.
You're going to put that on.
Is that what we're talking about?
No.
It's the voting link.
Pat, I'd like it in the I'd like
gotcha.
It so people can click on it and
actually
vote.
Folks.
That'd be great.
I think Jerry needs a Snickers bar this morning.
Oh, very good.
He did say that.
I
went over this
earlier.
I mean, we prepped for 3 hours, Pat, and you know.
Thank you very much. Pat, I have to say, Pat did a great job. I have to give credit where credit is due. She compiled our show notes today. So should we get it right out of the way, right off the bat, the beer tasting?
Sure.
All right.
Ooh.
So we're doing it. So
we might as well get sick immediately.
My daughters and I at home brew. And
Jimmy's
putting the plastic gloves on.
Jimmy, you don't. I'm not getting a test.
No, Joey, I have to add that most fathers and sons and daughters at home, they go through like watercolors or Legos. You've chosen the art of crafting beer yourself.
Yes.
Well, I didn't choose it.
How did
it.
That come about?
I didn't choose it. They bought it for me for Father's Day.
Oh, Father's Day. Okay, so this is how it came about.
It's a kit.
I don't know.
Jesus. It's not.
I'm going to bring it around, Jimmy.
I'd wear the gloves, too.
There's a little bit of sediment at the bottom. So I don't know. I'll take this one.
Having our own show. I mean, this looks much like
a urine sample.
My urine this morning when I... I mean, I'm going to have to pass anything.
Oh, you have to try it.
I do?
I did the Mashubi fucking thing.
Mashubi, okay.
I almost expect like an egg to be in this. Like a pickled egg.
All right. Don't shake it up because you don't want to get that sediment.
Okay.
All right, we got Jimmy.
Where are the cups? Oh, right here.
No. Drink it out of the...
Jesus. Did you wash the glasses?
I washed. Everything was disinfected. Everything was disinfected.
How come there was no...
Is this just a Felicia's Triple Jaw?
How come there was no carbonation? No carbonation.
It may or may not have been Zugu in there before.
There would have been Zugu in there.
Wait. Before you drink it, give me your first observations with the sniff test. Does it smell like beer?
No.
It's like...
Vinegar?
It's just
it smells like something.
Mine smells like urine.
Jimmy, you're not on camera. I'm gonna beg you.
There's a very faint hint of some sort of beer.
Okay.
Yeah. Very faint.
All right. Let's go.
It smells like the beer that.
Are we rating this or?
You just the rating system is pass fail.
Pass fail.
Like, would you drink it again?
That's a good question, Carol.
It tastes like beer.
Yeah. It does taste like beer.
It's like an IPA, a little IPA-ish.
It's light.
It's very light.
Yeah, right.
I probably wouldn't go out and buy it. But I would. But I mean, I think we successfully made beer.
I think I would drink it on Father's Day to show my kids.
I'd say you made cask. Beer, because there's no carbonation in mine.
Yeah, but that's a subset of the beer world. That's a very elite.
Yeah, cask.
I gotta say that's a very thoughtful gift for me.
Very thoughtful. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's very good. Mad Line and
I love the fact that it's cold right out of the fridge.
We'll save you some. We have to.
You know why it's cold out of the fridge? Because I have to bark at Jimmy 5 times because he's always wants to get the beer and leave it on the table for 4 hours before we drink it.
If this was warm, it wouldn't have.
Is that true?
You know what would go well with this beer? A Snickers. What do you think?
A Snickers is good. Okay, so there we go. We tried it. We tried it, and there we go. What did I do to make this beer?
Joe, we'll leave some for the rest of your family members. I know you want to share this with others.
Bring some home to vote.
Yeah. And actually, this is the giveaway.
Yes. Everybody's going to retract their shares.
Yeah.
They're going to retract it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
We're giving it back?
Well, you don't have
to. I'll give it back later.
Everyone knows that they accidentally make kombucha.
But I think it's closer to kombucha.
That
than
was not
beer.
Bad. I mean, I had different expectations for it to be dog shit horrible, and that was not bad.
I thought it might be bitter.
Yeah. It wasn't. I've never attempted to make beer myself, so if that was my first attempt at it, I would say, sure.
So this is what I would say. And Bobby Ryan, I should mention Bobby Ryan, because he wrote to me. He says, I see that you got you're trying the beer thing with your daughters. And what it generally comes down to is one of two outcomes. You try it, you absolutely fall in love with it, and you become obsessed. And that's why he says that there's so many breweries around. Or it's inedible.
A turn off.
It's such a turn off that you'll just give it up right away.
So would you do it again?
I would not do it again, and this is the reason why. It is unbelievable amount of work
to
produce.
Well, walk us through it. I mean, this is we're drinking the final product. What was the process? Quick synopsis. What was the process?
You got to boil a bunch of hops and grains and you got to keep it at a certain temperature for a certain thing. You got to strain it. Then you got to put it back, and then you got to add other stuff, and then you got
to give me the time frame of when start to finish. That's what I'm looking for.
It was like 3 weeks ago. So I think it was like, and my memory is terrible, but I want to say it's like, you know, 3.5 hours of putting it together. Then you put it on a shelf for 2 weeks, and then
So it's like a 2 week process.
It's a 2 week process. There's big front loaded.
You got to clean everything too. You got to make sure everything's clean.
So there's all that.
It reminds me of McSorley's. Anybody been to McSorley's in New York City?
No. Yeah.
They made their beer down in their basement, and it was either dark or light.
Oh.
And it when I first tasted it, McSorley's came to mind. Paul, you were chuckling. You've been
McSorley's there, ale house. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was chuckling thinking about my freshman year of college. One of my roommates decided to make beer, and then we went off for winter break. And I was the first one back in the dorm, and I opened the door. The bottles had exploded.
Oh my God.
Oh, the experience was
that must have been nasty. Really nasty. Next bit of business here. Massachusetts is reopening, and it's time to book your party. 100-person limit indoors, which means your boy Scotty Mack is back in business.
Scotty Mack.
I want to say that the first day that they lifted that, immediately I got a phone call, and I got another phone call, and then I got another phone call.
Wow.
So I want to thank the three people right off the bat on the first day. Already people are excited. So am I. And not only that, anticipating this was going to happen, I made a few phone calls to some of the local establishments to go ahead and have a unmasked party. We're going to have Scotty Mack unmasked.
Nice.
No, we're not going to be wearing a mask, but we'd like to get back to business, you know?
Everybody's happy.
Thank you, Joey. Thank you.
Chris, this is one of your topics right here. I can't move to Gloucester. I wasn't born there.
So we were enjoying a cigar at the Cigar Shack in Raleigh the other day, and we met a bunch of guys, and one of them asked where we were from, and we said Gloucester, and he said Gloucester. He goes, "Oh, I can't move to Gloucester. I wasn't born there." And I thought it was an interesting comment because I think a lot of people think that you know, I think everybody knows Gloucester's a very tight-knit group. And it was just interesting to hear an outsider's perspective of Gloucester and how he thought it would be hard to move to a place like this and break into, you know, the community and become.
I think that's not the case as like it was maybe 20 years ago. Right. But I think two abutting towns are much more would be tougher to ever be considered a local would be Manchester and Rockport. Like I think those townies much more hardcore townies than Gloucester would
Yes.
The guy was telling us how he comes to Gloucester for all the meals.
Yeah.
And he does shopping here. So we just brought up why don't you just move there?
Yeah. And that's
when he made that
comment. Yeah. But I've only been here 3 years and I haven't found to be the case at all.
I think being from town, Joey, maybe you can attest to this also, is that it's like a double-edged sword in town for the outsiders coming in because, A, everybody knows your business. I mean, it's a small town. Come on. Let's just be honest. Most everybody, if they don't know your business, they want to know your business. And also on the other side of it is that the community is so great that they rally around each other when you really need them. So it's like kind of
–
You know, it could be. It could go both ways. I could see that being a concern. People coming from out of town wanting to move here permanently.
Yeah, but I think would you not agree that it's become a lot more? Gloucester is 100 times more
welcoming
than it was 20 years ago.
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, there's a lot more stuff to do. I mean, a lot more, like you said, the restaurants and coming up here for the food, like I would say in you, Jim. So I mean, there's a lot more draw, and I think that the Discovering Gloucester and those other programs that are in place in the city actually make it a lot more inviting than it used to be.
Yeah,
Chamber does a great job. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
The moral of the story is,
you know, your comment about Joey, your comment about people reaching out, helping people. I watched the Annisquam Village Players thing last night, and Carol Cox, you know, the Cox family of Coxco Dumpsters, and Tom Moriarty were both on performing, and they, Carol had been, and Tom is now the president of something locally here in my corner of Gloucester called Good Neighbors, and there's probably 50 people involved who take people to doctor's appointments, bring meals, help out for, you know, all sorts of things. That's just something that doesn't happen in a lot of places.
Yeah, for sure. Paul, you and Pat both have had your second vaccinations.
Yes.
And we wanted to hear a little bit about your reactions.
Well, I literally didn't have any.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I work with a bunch of people who are a lot younger and several people who are in the medical profession, and there seems to be some correlation between age and reaction, that the older you are, the less likely you are to react. And also some gender correlation, that women seem to be reacting more than men. And I don't know the science behind that, but that seems to be the, you know, what I'm hearing. But I got to give another shout out to Leahy. They had this thing down pat, and I have to wonder, with all the great medical providers we have in this state, why the state didn't just get in the business of getting the vaccine to the people who knew how to make appointments and put shots in arms.
I think my guess is that they didn't want people that potentially had COVID to go into the hospital. There's least people going to hospitals.
Yeah, but they didn't do it in hospitals, Joey, or doctor's offices. Leahy and Beth Israel and then Mass General Brigham, they've all set up remote sites. And I went to the VFW post in right off to the Whole Foods in Beverly.
Yeah,
I can speak on that. I actually received a text message the other day, which I was excited to get. I thought it was, you know, a telemarketer or whatever, but it actually, in a sense, was. It was from Beth Israel Hospital, and said, you are now eligible to get your vaccination shot.
Yep.
Here's the link.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I click on the link, and it gave me about 9 different locations to choose from. And then once you choose the location, you go down, it says pick a day and time. So they'll show you all the available appointments that are available. And I clicked on the Victoria Rocky post for one in Beverly to see if I could get a sooner, like a quicker appointment. And it was, they were shut out. But I did get one at the Elks in Gloucester on March 19th. Yep. At 3 p.m, and that's your appointment. That's your spot.
So,
Yeah. And you know, when you go, I mean, they had 15-minute slots, and they didn't overbook them. So you really weren't waiting in line, maybe, you know, three people in front of you. And it was, they really did a great job. Pat, where did you have yours?
Well, I had my second shot. It turned out at the Rose Baker Center. I had been scheduled to go to Salem that afternoon for my second shot, which is where I got my first one because I volunteered at the clinic. So they gave workers their vaccinations that day. And I was working the clinic at Rose Baker that day. I was supposed to go to Salem. So they just, they had, and somebody was sick. So they opened vaccine slot and put me in. So, but to counter your, I guess I'm running counter to your observations because I'm certainly not old. but I had virtually no reaction to the second one. I've been working a couple clinics, and many people come through, and they're very, very nervous about how they might react, and there are legitimately, you know, those are legitimate concerns, but in my case, if there and I was prepared, I was like, you know, we blocked off the schedule. Maybe I don't even want to do anything, but it was, I was tired, but that was it.
I wonder if, you know how some people say, oh, the pain and stuff like that. Like if they're just like, you know, being dramatic. Being dramatic.
Sometimes I wondered if they were bringing some of it on.
My father just had his second dose from the VA hospital in New Bedford. The first shot, absolutely zero symptoms, except the next day a little soreness on his arm just because where the shot goes in the muscle. The second shot he had a week ago on Monday, and he was fine. Later that night and for the next 3 days, massive headache, nausea, upstairs, like side effects, you know?
Yeah, it's not immediate upstairs. When it does happen. Yeah. It's about a day later.
But if it's as effective as it is,
right,
like those dull pains or whatever, the nausea, whatever it is, for a day or two, is a lot less than going through COVID.
Right.
But he did have the he got a fever for a few days. He had a massive headache. Again, the nausea, the downstairs stuff. And then he was weak. Like he lost all like motivation. Like just so that's just his personal, you know, side effects that he got, but I'm sure some people get none, like you said.
Right. Yeah. So.
But the good news is that
beer.
Joe and his two daughters found the newest vaccine to kill off COVID. So if
I filtered this through my body. That's actually urine.
I know it is. I know what we were drinking.
Chris, you're ready for your second dose.
You can't get that by me.
So when you go for your second dose, take that with you because you get your shot, and this is the chaser.
Yeah, exactly.
And I to answer Michael, I don't know the answer to that question. How to sign up for a cancellation list.
I think they have on
which clinic it is, because they are all different. They are run differently by different organizations. So I don't know the answer to that question.
So I have a question for everybody. I'm going to go around. We're going to ask. And I'd really like the listeners, the viewers, to chime in on this. With COVID, I feel like I've become more accustomed, less intimidated by using QR codes, because every restaurant you go to generally has a QR code on the table. What I didn't realize up until COVID actually started, that to access what the link is from a QR code, all you had to do is open up your camera app. I always thought you had to have a special QR code reader.
Yeah, that's right.
But all you have to do...
I think that might have been true in the beginning.
But now the phones are built with QR scanners built into your phone, your camera app.
Right. Yeah.
So what I'm curious, and I'd like to know, I'd like all the people that are watching right now to chime in. Are you more apt to click to open up your camera and scan a QR code now than before COVID? And do you find that it's such a simple thing you wish that you had used it more? That's a two-part question. We're going to start with Scotty Mac.
All right. So with the inception of QR codes back in the day, I was definitely nervous. I didn't know how to read them. I didn't understand them. So the question is, am I more likely to use it now? Is that what the question is, Joe?
Are you more apt now that this COVID's there and you have to use QR codes to get menus? Do you feel like you're less intimidated by that? And are you more apt to see a random QR code and know that you can just open up your phone and turn on the camera app?
I get it. I absolutely love it.
You might want to check out here.
Because now you don't have a physical menu. I like both. I like the physical menu to tangible, sit there, whatever. But now in the culture of technology, even when you're sitting at dinner, most people are fidgeting with their phones anyway. I mean, it kind of sucks that people aren't interacting with each other as much. But
yeah,
hey, look this up and look that up. So with the QR code, it kind of makes it a lot easier. But you actually have to be in that room for that QR code too, unless you're online and you're looking it up on the computer. So you still have to be in that spot where that QR code is. So instead of picking up, you know, your menu and you're using your camera app and you scan on it, now you're in your personal phone. And I guess it's weird, but I like it.
Yeah. The only gripe that I have is when you open up these menus, the print is like 0.0001 font. And it's like, I mean, yes, it allows you to open it up.
I know it's
but
not.
But when you, I have to open it up so large where I can only see like four letters at a time.
Right.
So it's
that's also on a web developer though for each page. I mean, some restaurants have better setup systems than, you know, the next.
Yeah.
So to speak, you know,
Without
trying to cram too much information in one small area. Online to them, it's not small, but when you're on your phone or stuff, it definitely comes across that way. So I guess it's on the web developer or the app developer.
I agree with you, Chris, on a lot of stuff there. When I go to a restaurant and they hand you the menu, you open it up, you take a look, you want to see what you have, they'll tell you the specials. I do love the QR thing we can go through. I'm really loving it, but now you got to go search things. You got to go for a while. You're sitting there, but the waitresses still come in and say, "And what do you first drink?" I don't know. I'm still on page three.
Yeah, right? That's true. That's true.
I haven't found the drink section yet.
Hang on. Yeah.
So I'm not necessarily. I agree with you. I would actually personally rather have a paper menu than have to use a QR code for a menu because you don't see the whole thing. Mm-hmm. However, the use of QR codes in, like, so on a, say, a product, right? If it has a QR code on it and it says, here's the instructions or whatever, or you know, so you don't clutter up a box with all the pages of instructions, or here's the manual. You can save it here. You click on this, you open up your phone, you click on the button, the camera app, and all of a sudden, all this information becomes aware to you. That, or you can open, you can have that link to a map.
Yeah.
You can have that open to a million different, you can have it perform a million different functions.
Right. And we mentioned some that they're at the city monuments, and another intriguing place I have seen them less often, but I find it very intriguing, and it might seem off-putting, but QR codes on gravestones.
Oh, wow.
So if you're visiting a gravestone and maybe you're somebody like me and you want to know if they're your relation or something, you can get their story. And I think that's very, very intriguing. Yeah. So Jim's going to put one on my monument for everybody that'll be visiting.
The other place I saw it, and I think it's in East Gloucester somewhere, where I saw a for sale sign, a house for sale sign, and it had a QR code. So someone driving by, if they want to learn more about that particular house, they just go and take a picture of the QR code.
And the whole listing sheet.
And the whole
sheet
video, the listing sheet.
Yeah. It could be a ton of stuff.
I have a QR code on my business card. And in fact, it's most of the card. And if, because I run a school. And so if someone puts the QR code, they go to our admission site.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
No, it's brilliant.
I don't think I would put it on a gravestone, though, because like anything, things are going to evolve. Technology is going to surpass that. And then all of a sudden, now you still have this QR code on your gravestone, and then it's obsolete. Well, and it's on there. What are you going to get, a new headstone?
On my grandfather's, on my grandfather and grandmother's headstone, they have these kind of like round oval,
yeah,
and it's like glued to it.
Okay, yeah, all right.
So I think, you know, like with a razor scrape.
But not, not like inscribed.
No, not inscribed in there.
Okay.
It's usually an add-on, yeah, sort of a.
Yeah. But that is cool. I like that. That
and I think that if I'm not mistaken, when I got my first vaccine, they encourage you, they don't require it, they encourage you to log into the CDC site to report any symptoms or whatever. I think they're gathering data, and that was a QR code to,
yeah,
just get to that mm-hmm, to that site. So that was easy peasy.
Yeah, no, I think there's a, to give someone a complicated URL, like someone, so say someone, you know, and instead of just, or someone wants your number and you have it, you can just open up your phone, mm-hmm, and give it to someone.
Next thing, you're going to have t-shirts. Ask me about me. It's a, a QR code, and you scan it.
Tattoo.
Pat, did you answer the question? How you, so anyway, the reason I got to that was because I created one, a custom one for Good Morning Gloucester.
We can show, mm-hmm, what it's like here.
And what I have it linked to is a page of links of all GMG media.
If you want to show it.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this is so if you go to the blog right now, you'll see it. But that is the.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta make this larger. Hold on one sec. So if you do the QR code that I created for Good Morning Gloucester, it brings you to all these different links.
I think that's awesome.
And you can do, yeah, there's more actually.
And Joe has this tattooed on multiple parts of his body. So when you're on Wingasheek Beach or Good Harbor Beach this summer, if you see Joe in his Speedo, you can come right up to him and take a picture of the QR code
that's the QR code that I created.
I've seen the barcode tattoos on people before.
Have you?
I have not seen, yeah, a QR code, though.
Actually, that's a good question. That's a good question.
Hey, that's a good suggestion for Becca Murray for her next tattoo.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
Would you get
both
a tattoo? Would you get a tattoo of a barcode on your body if a company gave you $50,000?
That's a good question, Mike. Quick answer is no. I don't even
have
my ears. Yeah.
does it have to be visible? Can it be covered? And if so, take the $50,000 and do a cover up tattoo and add to it. I mean,
it'd have to be like,
how long?
Be,
what's the contract?
Visible,
what's the contract?
I suppose.
Call my agent. Let's talk money here, Chris.
A company would, I think, want it to be visible, I suppose, right? If they were paying you to do it,
they would want it to be visible.
That, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat, do you have any tattoos, Pat?
I don't even have a pierced ear.
You don't even have a pierced ear.
I got nothing.
Really?
Jim.
Jimmy, is that true?
Jim, let's go to Jim.
Where's the tattoo?
Mine or hers?
Hers. Oh, he's stuttering.
Pat, when's your birthday?
It's in October.
It's in October. See, yeah, that's a perfect birthday gift, Jim.
Yeah.
This year. Tattoo or a pierced ear for Pat.
Yeah. Is it hers?
You could get Scoonie Boo Boo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scoonie Boo Boo. Break down my arm. Right. Well, I made a mistake on the last podcast, and I'll admit to you now that Joey's not in the room because I don't really need him to hear it. But the prizes, the podcast prize pickup point,
yes,
is at Arts Abound on Lexington Avenue in Magnolia. That we had a discussion about whether there was Arts Abounds or Arts Abound. Yeah. And there is no second S. So I made a mistake on that last week. I have admitted it. Joey has not heard it. So that's awesome. That gets me out of that problem. And I also mispronounced artisan last week.
Oh, Jesus.
I thought artisan also meant artisan, but it's more related to water and wells and things like that.
Okay, all right.
So
I wanted to give a shout out to Mile Marker and remind all of our fans and listeners and viewers that if you go to Mile Marker for breakfast and rent an igloo from Wednesday through Friday.
Is it an igloo or an igloo?
Igloo. A dome.
A dome.
A white dome. remember to mention Good Morning Gloucester, and they will waive the $30 rental
fee. And we don't know how long that might last.
Oh, okay.
So might have been just sure last week. It may have been. Yeah. I don't know.
So walk us through that one more time. If they're going to waive.
Yeah, so it's $30 if you rent one of those white domes at the mile marker. They have 8 of them, the igloos. And if you mention Good Morning Gloucester between Wednesday and Friday, Patrick, the GM over there, will waive.
For breakfast.
For breakfast only. And you have to mention Good Morning Gloucester.
Yeah.
Right. And I know, Jimmy, you were there Friday.
For breakfast. I took advantage of that and went in and brought some family. And we were in the Candy Cane Room. So we were in downtown Gloucester in the Candy Cane Room,
right.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And, I feel like I'm on a radio show. Like, hello from the Candy Cane Room.
Oh, we got Michael.
Oh, great.
I've heard mixed reviews on people saying $30. That's kind of crazy. Why are they trying to? It's not expensive at all. It's you get a max of 6 people. That's basically $5 a head. I mean, it's a great igloo to go. I mean, that's nothing.
And breakfast or something else. I will tell you that the pancakes were stacked higher.
And they're sold out a lot.
And French toast.
Yeah. Very popular.
I brought my family. He went for breakfast Friday. I brought my family to an igloo Friday night. And it was great. The food was great. My daughter, Mia, and her boyfriend had a great time. My son, Brendan, was there. But the highlight of that night wasn't just the igloo. But Patrick, the GM, suggested the Irish coffee. And we all know Patrick now. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do things half-ass.
Mm-hmm.
The Buena Vista in San Fran, I don't know how many of you have been to the Buena Vista, but supposedly that's where the Irish coffee was invented.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Patrick doesn't cut any corners. He gets the same exact glasses that the Buena Vista serves their Irish coffee in. And follows the recipe to the T. And I'm telling you what, if you like Irish coffee,
well,
it is a
must. Well, I got excited because I thought you were bringing us some this morning.
You know, Jimmy passes there.
This one excited me. They took care of us. They invited us.
Yes.
And they comped out breakfast and had us in.
Exactly.
From that point on, you guys went there for breakfast and all the igloos, because we pimped it.
Yeah, we're
sold out for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
So that's what made me happy.
Yeah. Well, that's Good Morning Gloucester's reach. We appreciate the fans, the listeners.
We tell you, GMG approved or Joey approved.
GMG
we
approved.
Mean it.
All right, there you go.
Got a QR stamp of approval.
Stamp of approval. All right, we got Michael DeCosta waiting in the wings. Going to bring him along.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
What's it? Oh, where'd he go?
Oh, I went backstage. I'm back on.
There you are. Then. What's happening? Hey,
not much. How you doing, Joey? Best green room in the business, by the way.
There you go.
This is great. This is highly professional.
I wanted to have you on specifically because you guys have your new program coming up, and I want to give you a quick minute to talk about it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, the lecture series. We have a lot of new programs coming on for the spring, but we'll start off with that winter lecture series. We're coming on next week, Tuesday is the first one. It's every Tuesday in March, focusing on the history and stories of the schooner. So it's going to be a great lecture series, starting with Justin Dimitri, who kind of walks us through the evolution of a schooner from our using some of the things in our gallery. So it's really, really good night. It's going to be on Zoom, so... Go to our website.
Oh, so are they all going to be on Zoom pretty much?
Well, so right now with the capacities up until March 22, they would have to be. But we don't know if maybe the last two, we're going to take a look at what we can do. We're planning on it all being virtual this time around. We are looking at maybe having a second lecture series in the early spring, which will be a skills-based lecture series. And if the state guidelines stay like they announced they would be, we may do that one in person.
So I know that Pat's chomping at the bit. I know I'm chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
What are we putting the chances at, and I'm not going to hold you to anything, of a Schooner Festival for 2021?
I knew that was coming up. So, festival, you know, and us too, Joey, chomping at the bit. I mean, you know, last summer wasn't summer for me because no Schooner Festival. But right now, we know we have schooners that are interested in coming. We're still assessing how many would actually be able to be here and which ones would come. If everything was turned on, you know, losing a summer last summer makes a lot of have a heavy financial impact. And when the schooners come to visit us, people may not realize this, but they're giving up one of the best weekends of the year for their chartering business for to raise money in their home port to come and visit us. So it's always appreciated when they do. Directly to the question, if the state allows us to do it and gives us enough to notice that we can do it, we will be doing it.
That's huge.
Yeah. Right now, no festivals or fairs are allowed in the current guidelines. So, we're hoping that, we're one stage away, right? And if it moves to 4.2, I think we'd be able to do something. So that's great.
Well, they went to 100 people for a wedding, so numbers have been coming down rapidly. And I mean, if we remember what last summer was like, there were very, very few cases. So it's right around the time when you guys would do it. So let's keep our fingers crossed. No pressure.
We've heard from the state. You know, it's 150 people outdoors, but the you know I think the Schooner Festival draws a few more than that on the Boulevard. And you know the good news is that we can have some gatherings like that, and you know, yeah, we're excited. We're really pleased to hear it. I heard from the state health department that you know the numbers in the fall of last year outdoors were not significantly worse than they thought they would be when they started letting teams get together in close contact. So maybe that's something we can hang our hat on that we can. You know, do something safely.
What other? I know you mentioned other programs. What other programs do you have coming up at Maritime Boston?
Well, we're excited right now because we're building a whole new Maritime Science Education Center in our lower level there, where the wet lab used to be. We got a big grant and raised some money from the community. Fantastic support from the community. I mean, in the middle of COVID, for people to be donating and raising for this is just heartwarming. It was really unbelievable. And
what's that? Michael, this is Scotty Mack. I just have a quick question for you. At this new center that you're building, what type of stuff can people expect to learn there? What can they expect out of this center?
So we're making it a public exhibit space that will be right off from the smaller Sea Pocket Aquarium. The touch tanks, the fish, and live animals experience will be moving a little bit inside. We'll have a summer experience outside as well. What we're going to be doing is focusing on themes. We're still developing the interpretation of the site. We're going to be focusing on themes of the harbor, themes of the fishing, working waterfront, and maritime science, the combination of all of those. The passive visitor will have a good exhibit experience, but we're also designing it so it breaks down when we do field trips for students and when we do our programming with the Gloucester Public Schools. This will be a launching pad. This will be the educational platform that we do that off from now. And being able to do it with live fish in the winter, which is something we haven't been able to do in the past, is going to be huge for the kids.
Yeah, as someone who's a client of Maritime Gloucester occasionally, it's you know, having that year, that educational experience year round is so important. So
you gave me
a little tour of that, and it's really going to be great.
Yeah, I can't wait. Let me tell you, thanks, Paul. Thanks for noting that. I should say too, Joey, that you know, Paul is our distinguished race chair for the Schooner Festival. I don't know if you know that or not.
I had no idea.
I didn't.
And so, you know, we don't tell him any inside scoops, but so you can't get anything from him on a weekly basis. Anyway, yeah, Paul sets up the race, and I think, and just to not to lead too much, I think Paul might be busy this summer.
Hey now.
Interesting.
That was a little teaser. That That's what we call in the business a teaser.
Gonna have to have me back on.
Florida sweeps me.
Was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, just how great it is to start seeing things open up. The city's been really good working with us, and the news on Tuesday was like a burden was lifted, and it's just great. We're looking forward to getting our campus ready. We got some new interactive learning stations. We call them SAILs, STEM Interactive Learning Stations, which will be opening up on the pier this year. We got a bunch of little new things that are happening, and we're starting to really gear up. So it's great stuff.
Well, now that we see the numbers coming down so much, and now that we have a full year with seeing what the numbers were like in the summer, which were almost non-existent, like, let's hope that we can really get after it and enjoy the summers like we have in the past. And
I'm with you. The data for how much spread the vaccine, how, you know, if the infection off from after getting the vaccine is knocked down, the ability to spread it with people who have the vaccine, I think that's the last chit they're waiting for to make some real decisions. But they got everything else, and that's great.
Well, thanks so much. For more information, you can go to www.maritimegloucester.org. As always, we love having you on. So anytime.
Oh man, thanks for having me. Good to hear and see you guys. Great show today.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, Mike.
Joe, I think we should go to Marathon, Florida.
I think we should go. We're going to throw to Marathon, Florida right now. We're going to give them the big screen right here.
Look at this.
All right, gentlemen, we've been waiting patiently in the wings. Hold on a second. I got to unmute them because they're talking in the background. So I got to mute them. All right, Russ and John. Give us a little background where you guys are at.
So we're in Marathon, Florida. My friend, for those of you who don't know, I worked for Carnival Cruise Lines for 7 years. John and I, he's still there. He's one of the big executives for Carnival Cruise Lines. And we met when we worked together 28 years ago. He bought a beautiful home, has renovated it down here in Marathon. So I'm meeting actually Joe and Chris on Monday. Came down here for the weekend and spent some time with a great friend.
There you go. So, John, what's it like? What's it like being retired?
Retired? What's it like taking care of Russ?
I'm going to have a QR code on my gravestone. You can find out.
And I will come and look at it.
I'm thinking about doing the 50 grand to put one on my penis.
Check, yeah, it'll be out of order.
Might only be able to fit the queue.
They pay Russ extra because he's got that huge melon that would show up better on his. You might be able to get 75.
About your huge melon. We're outside. We got boats and wind and all kinds of noise, so it's kind of hard here.
Sorry, guys. The boats are being put in the water.
And this pelican.
Part of problems.
Hold on. Hey. Russ, can you show the viewers your big injury? You had that fight with the barracuda. Can you show
it? Okay, so I can say this. I'm the only person in the world that just got bit by a dead barracuda on a balcony.
On a balcony.
I got a puncture wound on my right leg.
He's bleeding by a stuffed fish.
Hey, John, being in the cruise industry, can you comment about what kind of opening you foresee and when ships are going to be able to cruise again?
Yeah, that's a really great question. As everyone knows, I mean, you know, we're holding right now. So we're waiting for final approval from the CDC. We're in travel and leisure, and there's still a perception out there. I heard you guys all talking about, you know, I'm really excited that Massachusetts is starting to open up. It's a little different in Florida. We closed the Keys down to visitors for 4 months. We're still wearing masks when we go outside, but pretty much everything is running down here. But cruise ships are not allowed to right now. And so we're taking our lead. We're seeing what's happening in the travel industry. We're seeing airplanes and aircraft. I was up in New England. I drove right up. I drove from Marathon, Florida last week, went up to Maine via 95 and, you know, 84. And you see the difference all the way up. And so we are waiting We see the airports are getting back. We see the hotels are starting to come back. We're very optimistic that by summer, we're going to start in Europe first. So in this month, Carnival has 9 brands. And so, you know, Carnival Cruise, but we also own Costa and AIDA and Cunard and Princess and Holland America. So we're starting in Europe first. We're working with the World Health Organization. So in the United States, we have the CDC. We have to not just worry about the ports that we sail from, but the ports that we visit as well. So when you think about a cruise, and some of you gentlemen will be down here in Florida tomorrow, if we want to go to Key West or we want to go to Grand Cayman or Jamaica, we have to comply with the laws of that region as well. You know, we have to worry about our crew members getting vaccinated. And so we're going through our process, but we're ready to go. We're seeing a strong trend in booking. So demand is not an issue. We have strong demand and we have a loyal fan base. I know some of you guys are going to be on some of our ships at the end of the year, and we're excited to have you. And we're excited as your last guest just to get back to normal. Yeah. So we're optimistic and we think 21 is going to be a good year for us.
Nice.
John, when you guys finally get back to cruising and stuff, I happen to know a great DJ that might want to travel a bit.
We'll try. We'll see how you can scratch. What type of music do you play?
You name it, I'll play it. I mean, I'm very versatile.
He plays the chicken dance at weddings.
I never
very nice.
That on my resume. That being said, I'm hired.
And just so you know, I'm going to be the first to go out and say, I talked to Chris and Joe, we're going to pay you in homemade brew. So you let us know if that works for you.
If you do that, he'll pay you in homemade brew.
A lot of my contracts include beverages, so.
That's all this one will include.
Thank you very much for your consideration, boys.
Yeah. It's a pretty nice background, though, huh? I bet you guys
put
the shorts and t-shirt and go outside.
What's the temperature there, John?
It's in the 80s today.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yesterday we took the jet ski out. 4 hours yesterday on the jet ski, honest to God.
Hence why we got red faces.
We must have saw a $15.
Hey, John, did Russ have his Speedo on yesterday?
You know him better than I do. He never takes it off.
That's why all the
it's dolphins. Just creepy.
Actually, if I scan down, you can see it.
You'll see it tomorrow, Chris.
Yeah, I can't wait.
The dolphins.
Hey, listen, I got to put the question out. Why do we live in New England?
Russ, Russ, can you give us a little preview of the 2021 Bishop Fenwick baseball team being the coach?
So everybody knows that we lost our entire season last year, which was terrible for the kids. So we were able to pick up a little bit in the fall. So we are actually postponed the start of our season till April 26th so the football kids can play. So they've already started this season. They end on the 25th. We start on the 26th. So as of right now, we are going to have a sectional tournament, not a Massachusetts tournament. So the kids will be able to compete for a championship, which is great. Bishop Fenwick is doing great. We have a great team. We have about 7 seniors. We got a lot of kids that have transferred into Fenwick. Reason being is they were kind of going through more in school than some of the publics. So we feel really good about our team, and the kids are working hard, and they're very, as you can imagine, losing an entire season. These baseball kids are very eager to get back out there, so I'm looking forward to it.
I know a lot of people really went after and wanted to put their kids into private schools because of the ones that, in some communities, they were only sending the kids to school 2 days a week. Gloucester actually sent the kids 5 days a week, which is really nice. But there's a lot of communities that they didn't have that. If your son is a tremendous baseball player, who should they contact at Bishop Fenwick High School to get him on the roster?
Absolutely me. It's rs@fenwick.org. Welcome it. It's great school. Education comes first, and we got it. As we know, we're all kind of graduates of Fenwick. We're very, very proud of the school. Reach out to me and I'll be glad to introduce you. We have our own pitching coach this year. We got state-of-the-art facilities and we're really proud of our program and our school.
Yeah, you have invested in that program in equipment and training facilities year after year. You just keep pounding money into it and it's if you're a baseball player, it's one of the elite places to go. So rs@fenwick.org is Russ's number. If your son is an elite baseball player, contact Russ and he'll take good care of you. Yeah.
Hey, Russ, Gloucester has some representation on your team, correct?
Yeah, the Destino family. So Tucker, right. Destino, Alex Destino. So
yeah.
Alex and I played college baseball together, and now okay. I get to coach his son, so it's come full awesome. Circle. That's a lot of fun for us.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Awesome. I think this might be a good time for this week's segment of Bizarre Foods.
Okay.
And
we didn't have it?
No.
Oh.
Well, that was a bizarre drink, but I found this in my refrigerator.
Oh.
And I brought some wheat thins, and I even brought a little.
Our very own Anthony Bourdain.
Knife. So can you read that? What is that, Jimmy?
In France, it says it's good till 2024. That's all I care.
That's all you care. This week's segment of Bizarre Foods, and this is duck liver. Duck liver.
Oh my God.
I bought this from France when I was there. I just opened it. You heard the pop.
We got the duck.
This is fresh.
Oh, no.
But
we got it. Hold on. Hold it up. Let me hold it up. No.
No.
Hold on a second.
Yes. Well, that's the duck fat on top.
No duck. The pelicans got something to say.
No duck.
Don't eat the duck, please.
He's got the dog.
Do it again, Russ. Do it again. It smells horrible. It smells.
We all got to do one.
No.
This is why Paul zoomed in, so he can sit at home and watch this.
This is what they call foie gras.
Oh,
it smells like
enjoy.
I just got a sniffer.
You know, don't be stingy on that now. Good Lord.
Hey,
Pat, would you like to?
I don't know. You know, I'm usually in for a lot of things. Yeah, I don't know about this.
All right, here we go.
Smells like chicken.
This is duck liver from France.
Here goes the French duck liver.
Here we go. Cheers.
Good luck.
You're supposed to do
probably pretty good. Not
okay.
Bad.
I mean, that's heavy. That is good shit.
We can't do dog.
I mean, no, it has a slight dog food taste.
Oh wait, it is.
Yeah.
Oh wait, it is.
That is good. Joe, as the host, how would you rank this?
I put that just above the Mashubi.
You want another?
Oh, no, thank you.
Wow.
I can't untaste that.
You must like dog food.
If the tripe is a 1 on a scale from 1 to 10, I put the Mashubi. Where did I put the Mashubi at last?
0.
Week? No, I didn't put the Mashubi at a 0.
It was less than the tripe, if I'm remembering correctly.
That was disgusting.
No, I would have rather had the Mashubi than the tripe.
Okay, all right. Okay.
The tripe was the worst. I think I put the Mashubi at, on a scale from 1 to 10, I think I put the Mashubi at a 5 or a 4.
Ooh.
And I put this I put the Mashubi at a 5. I put this at a 4. And 1 to 10.
Wow.
Scotty, where are you at?
Disgusting all around.
Did you try the tripe when he brought it?
Nope.
I have no tripe.
Can you follow the instructions? Exactly. 1 to 10.
1 to 10. Yeah. On 1 being the worst.
Worst, yeah.
I give it a 1. I didn't like it at all.
Okay. Well, there's levels.
No, all right. Okay.
Jimmy's going for double. He's double dipping.
Wait, I didn't puke, so I gotta edge it up. All right, I'll give it about a 3.
Okay.
Yeah, that was.
I give it a 10.
I would not do that again.
Chris gives it.
You know how much this cost? I mean,
why would you buy that? Why would you legitimately buy that?
Because I love it.
Like, I'm trying to figure out what part is duck.
The brown stuff.
The brown.
And what's that on
that's,
top?
That's fat. That's duck fat.
I'd like to take a moment and say happy birthday to Paula Ryan O'Brien.
Happy birthday, Paula. Happy birthday.
They're just eating the fringe.
All right, so
that's what I had to do.
Chris can't stop eating it.
I know.
So
Chris,
did
you talk about Rossetti's?
What is this shit?
Not yet.
All right, why don't you talk about Rossetti's?
Rossetti's, new restaurant in Beverly, right next to
Whole Foods.
I guess they have a location in Lynn and Winthrop.
Yep.
And the food is great. Service is great. Great atmosphere. We went the other night to try it out. Joe's first time. It was my second time. Cocktails were great. We got a Smoky Robinson, which is basically like an old fashioned that they smoke. But the way it was presented to us, it was in like these two crystal decanters
filled with smoke.
With smoke and then the bourbon on the bottom. And then they poured it right in front of us and the smoke was coming out. It was a great way to serve it.
It's a great, and it's what I thought was very interesting that I would point out about it would be how nice of a room it is. And in that location, I don't think that there's anything within 5 miles of that location. So all the people in that neighborhood right there have a real nice place to go for dinner.
Yeah.
I didn't see if they're open for lunch or breakfast.
No.
Do you know? Just
dinner only, I think.
Just dinner? Yeah. Mm. I think it's one of those restaurants everybody should try for sure.
Yeah. And we bumped into some friends that we knew there.
Oh, nice.
Yep, we did. And
this is getting better and better.
So, your questions are getting taller and
so
taller.
We went to the Agawam Diner.
Yeah. Jimmy, that's Jimmy.
We walked in the door.
We
set ourselves in a booth. It was very well spaced, so there wasn't a lot of people. We sat down and when you go to this diner, what was great is they had the whole sheet with all the specials, and then you had to flip it over to even see more.
I was underwhelmed.
Underwhelmed?
By the menu choice?
No. Oh. I had in my head, because I hadn't been there in a long, long time, that the Agawam Diner was this unbelievable place. I just remember it was a treat to go to the Agawam Diner. And we went, and I got fried haddock and fries. And the fries were kind of like the fries that you would get at grade school. Mm. And they weren't very crisp. They weren't crispy.
Soggy and cold?
They weren't cold.
Crinkle cut fries?
No. They're just like the white fries that are not some frozen French fries. And it was nothing out of the ordinary about the, like, I think that at some point that place was probably like such a great place to go to. And now in the past, like 15 years or so, there's been so, restaurants have upped their game in the last 15 years. There's so many great places to go. And they've probably been stagnant because they've probably done the same recipes the same way they've done them forever, that I was just not impressed.
They had specials, daily specials. And so we that day was chicken pot pie, something else. I can't remember. There was like two or three.
I got a club sandwich, tuna fish club sandwich. And mine was pretty good.
The tuna
was good.
Yours look good.
And I got the coleslaw, and their coleslaw is finely
minced. I like to try coleslaw
chopped at
places. Yeah.
I like their coleslaw.
It was, when I go to a diner like that, the first thing I think of is breakfast. And they serve it all day.
Yep.
So I went and I got the omelet and rye toast, which, it was good.
You know there's a pretty tremendous coleslaw in town? It's Stone's. Stone's has got a great coleslaw.
I think the other reason I might have been disappointed is because I mentioned like 5 minutes before we got there, like we're not too far away from the Rusty King.
Oh, that's right.
And we decided, no, we're going to the cigar bar, which is right, well, it's not cigar lounge, I guess you would call it. That's directly next to the Aguamdana. So we might as well try it because we haven't been there for a while. Right. But I would, so if I'm in that area, I'm going to the Rusty Can 10 out of 10 times.
Absolutely.
I'm going to the Rusty Can 100 out of 100 times.
Well, I wanted to go there, but the two guys I was in the car with me all grabbed the wheel and said, no, we're going to follow the plan. You're always changing things. We are going to stick with the plan.
Yeah, good point.
I did what the guys in the car told me.
You did. And what was the pizza place that the guy recommended? That's right.
What was that? Was that the one we were at?
It's by the golf course. What is it called? By the New Meadows Golf Course. It's on Route 1. It's an Italian family that owns it. It's sort of like in a strip mall, but they own the whole building. Yeah. And there's an outside, there's a little outside picnic tables, umbrellas, an inside room and stuff. And they really suggested there to go with the pizza. It was, we call it the oven.
Brick oven.
Pizza.
But the highlight,
we can't think of the name of it. So actually,
I'll see if I can find it.
But the highlight, the highlight of that day was what? Do you remember what the highlight of the day was?
Dairy Queen?
Dairy Queen.
Oh, yeah.
Little DQ. Queen
on the way home.
DQ.
We stopped. Hands down. Russ, we stopped at the Dairy Queen that Taylor works at. And I didn't get a discount, by the way. I was trying to work the young staff. Oh, they're not?
I got to get rid of them.
Right. Oh, is it just an empty table?
Yeah.
So we went to Dairy Queen. We're usually at McDonald's the last few times we've gotten the McDonald's soft serve. But we went to DQ, and I think, Jimmy, you were the one who said, I like Dairy Queen.
Oh, first of all, two things. The soft serve is fantastic, but all the machines are working.
And all the machines are working.
So you can go in. But you had something at Dairy Queen that I had no idea what it was. You asked what it was, and he said, oh, yeah, we can get you
was
one.
It the Boomba? Yeah,
the Peanut Buster Bar.
Buster Bar.
I mean, I think the Peanut Buster Bar is at least 50 years old. I mean, that's one of the
And there's boxes of Peanut Buster Bars in there.
Yeah, you can buy the box, but yeah, Dairy Queen's one of my favorite, man.
Might it be the pizza that you're talking about, Osteria Pacino?
Yes, that's it. That's exactly what it was. We got to do a field trip there because I like
we stopped there kind of just on a whim one day, and it was awesome.
Wait. Say the name again, Pat, because
you're killing me.
You just had it.
I know, but you're making, is this to make fun of how I pronounce things?
No, because we glossed over it, and whole idea is to share with the people what we were talking about.
Osteria
Pepino.
Osteria Pepino. There you go. Right.
Thank you, Paul.
Pat, how many shares do we have today so far?
We have nine.
So nine.
Any other listeners join in? Any other new names?
Ferris, your son has been absent from school 9 times.
I'll take the zero.
I don't think we shouted out to Chris Thompson or Michael Bertolino. Patrick T. McNally is with us. Mike Favaza. Those are people whose names I don't think
I'm rooting for somebody this week that's never won before. Not to take away from the others, but I can feel it. Somebody that's never won is going to win this week.
Yeah.
So I'm looking. I looked up the Osteria Pepino Pizzeria on the One Bite app. Everybody knows the rules, and it gets a 7.5.
Wow.
Which is a good score.
Yeah. What does the duck liver get? The One Bite.
Good Lord.
This is heaven. I mean, this was at least $3.
Why don't you put that on your pizza?
In France 5 years ago.
This is $3 euros.
Oh, okay.
So it's at least $4 here in the States.
Osteria Pepino. All right. Did you talk about the cigar bar? I don't think we should talk about that cigar.
Yeah, we don't want the secret out.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one.
You just told everybody where it was.
That's a joke. It's kind of a joke. So, Pat, why don't you talk about camp?
Oh.
Camp?
Bandcamp.
Our friend Jim Capillo shared a Cape Ann Media Productions promo on YouTube, which I will try to share now, if I can do that. So anybody that has media production needs, this is the place to go.
He just got that drone
Well, he has an upgraded drone, as he told us. Mm. And he has done so many different production with the drone. And this one just brings it up a lot, too.
All right, Pat, there you go. You got it.
Speaking of drones, have you guys heard of now about tuna fishing with drones?
Really?
No.
How to find this?
They're like bait drones. They can hold up to 4 pounds, and they have a release for the bait and everything. Yeah, it's like, so like, you know, in some of the harpoon boats, and they have plain scout planes. They're now using drones.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I thought was really interesting. You know,
cool.
I don't know what the laws are on.
You hear they have
on that
DJ drones.
They do have DJ drones. They circle the boat when we're on a cruise and film my next promo.
So good luck to Cape Ann Media Production.
Oh yeah, good job, Jim.
Oh, we got that. Okay. We gotta give people 30 seconds to share it. If you share it, what do we decide what the price is?
Well, Paul is offering a certificate to the Bookstore of Gloucester.
Oh, very generous.
Oh.
Thank you, Paul.
While we're waiting for people to get their shares in, let's go ahead and vote for Becca Rose Murray. The link is going to be on Good Morning Gloucester.
It's easy. Yeah,
it's on
there already. And okay. It's easy to do. I've done it each day since we had the podcast. So.
2021 CoverGirl Contest for Inked Magazine. So if you're a tattoo or if you'd like to support Becca, cast your vote on the link.
There you go. All right, Carol Mandela just shared it.
Number 10.
She's number 10. All right. If you share it and write share, just like Carol just did. You will be entered to win.
You liked it.
Gift certificate. And how do they get the gift certificate?
Well, this will be picked Paul might speak to this, but I think they picked it up at the bookstore.
Yeah, I'll just call the bookstore and give the name of the winner, and they just go in and there it is.
All right, great. All right, we're gonna do the we'll do the drawing right now. So there's 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, you're missing all the treats and the drink here.
Yeah, on purpose.
Paul, I'll save you some of this.
My mother just shared
a little pâté de foie gras. Oui.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the way it sounds, too, a little bit later.
All right, here we go.
You got 11, right?
We got 11. Okay. Yep, we got 11. I'm going to make this big here. And this is for the win. Oh!
11.
The fixer is in.
Right.
The fixer's in. Mama just won. Oh, that's hilarious.
This is under review.
Last minute entries count as much as all of the other ones. Yes.
All you got to do is share.
You got your wish.
We tell
someone
you.
New.
Yes, somebody that's never won before, right?
You got your wish.
Yeah, there it is.
You know what? My mother enters all the time, too, so I'm happy she won.
Yeah. You said that.
Congratulations, Mama.
Yeah.
Okay, Pat, the show will be there for you.
It's the second one down, or
yeah, it's a good way to end it.
Oh, okay. This is, I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay, so do you want
me to ask the question and then you can rebuttal to it, or do you want to say what your thoughts
are?
Just do it. Everybody,
I can read, Joe. Yes,
go ahead.
I have my glasses on and everything today.
Go ahead.
On our show notes, so well put together by Pat Delpiez. Pat Delpiez. Who knows what an EIF is? Who knows what an EIF is? And I don't even know if this is the right spelling. However,
I believe it is. EAF.
EAF. I've seen it spelled EIF.
Oh.
But what is an EIF? It's a local term. And Joey, what do you think an EIF is? You looked it up in the Urban Dictionary, okay? But what is your take on what an EIF is?
I know what an EIF is.
Oh, you do.
From what I think, we may have spoken about this on the podcast last time.
No,
we didn't. Okay,
three podcasts we did.
Yes.
So okay, Michael Bertolino knows. So it is. It isn't just for my father. My father used to call useless men EIFs. He's no good to anybody.
It's an acronym, and the first word is EPIC. It's a three-letter acronym, and the first letter is EPIC. The first word is EPIC, and the last is F.
That's kind of counter to what the common understanding EPIC as.
Well, that's not the way that local people like my father used it, or as Michael Bertolino understands it. Patrick McNally says a guy full of himself but delusional in that perspective. Michael Bertolino says an idiot. My father would always use my father would always use it as, oh, that guy's a fucking eef. He's just a useless, you know, a guy who probably couldn't support his family or just like a lazy person. Just a.
And you know what else, too, Joe? Like it's not only the word, it's how you say the word, too. Like, and that's eef.
I've
not heard that phrase.
So here's the question. The question is, I know that because Nicole knew it. Michael Bertolino and Patrick McNally knew it. Scotty, you knew it.
I kind of chalked it up to be the equivalent of a nitwit.
Right. But you'd heard the term.
Yeah, before. I've heard the term.
Jimmy and Pat had not.
I had not.
Chris had not.
Chris is from Danvers, right? Originally?
Bex didn't either. She grew up here.
So that's what I'm wondering is if it's a local thing or.
I think it's definitely a local thing.
Bex didn't know what it was.
Bex didn't come from here. Bex comes from Cambridge.
And you're from New York, so you wouldn't know.
Bex's mother was a fishmonger who in Cambridge Square that provided the fish for Julia Child.
Right. I know that part of it. Wow.
Ooh, yeah. Wow, that's a book. A little bit of history right there.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it might be.
I think that's interesting.
Or maybe Italian?
No, not Italian. No? Not Italian.
Okay.
You know how people cough and they say the word because they don't want to say it? It sounds like it's
or when you're pooping like that's Eve.
No, you definitely want to. If you're gonna call somebody an Eve, it's very prominent. Eve.
That guy's an Eve.
You say it because it doesn't
sound like it's the same as Egypt.
My father, it would be like something like when I was really young that my father, like you'd see someone or like say there was some like lazy relative or something like that. He'd be like, just to prove point, you know, to like, you don't want to be like that, Eve.
You don't want to be
like that. So Pat McNally says it was commonly used in Gloucester, especially back in the 80s. That's what he says. Interesting.
So that
I'd love to know the origin.
The origin.
I want to know how far it goes as far as where people.
That's. Well, I think we should put Paul on the case. A project for Paul.
The GMG.
Okay, project time.
Yeah. So if anybody else,
Eve.
What I'd like to know. So Carol Mondello says her mom used that word when and I could see Carol Mondello's mother using it because she is a very sarcastic kind of person. I could totally see her like pronouncing it and using it very effectively. So if you're watching the podcast right now, and I would actually like to hear from you if you've never heard of the term, and I'd like you to say where you're from so we can see where it's from. Wayne Moulton says it's a polite way of calling someone an asshole. Actually, I don't think it's polite at all. Like if someone calls you an eef,
you deserved it,
and you don't like, and you just cower to that, like those are fighting words. You know what I mean? Like you're that's completely taken away your manhood. You know what I mean? No one on here,
but it is kind of gender specific though for men, right?
Definitely for men. So Dawn Burnham is from Melrose and she's never heard of the word, so it must be a Gloucester thing.
I think it's a Gloucester.
That's what I would see. Paul Ryan O'Brien from upstate New York, never heard of it. Ed Collard. Here it is. Ed Collard remembers it being used in the trucking industry in Boston in the 70s, usually preceded by effing. He's an effing eef.
Okay.
So it wasn't just Gloucester then. It's interesting.
Well,
it's
I think it could have made its way this way. Because the trucking at Americold and the Crow's Nest used to be a big trucking bar.
Yeah.
So it probably made its way this way and kind of just lingered around.
Well, Ed didn't live in Gloucester back then.
No, the trucking from Boston, though, I'm saying. Oh. The truckers came up here. If it was a trucking term out of Boston, they come this way, kind of migrated this way and kind of hung on, I think.
Pat McNally says, my first hearing of it was Mark Enos describing other guys. That guy's an eef. Easily heard as early as the mid to late 70s. I would say mid to late 70s as well, because that's when I was a child and my father would use it.
We had the hockey guys again because we'd be asking.
What kind of a campaign can we get together to get this on Urban Dictionary?
You can submit things to Urban Dictionary. It's just like Wikipedia.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can actually put Eve in.
Wow.
Now here's Patrick McNally spelling it E E F.
See, it's I
pronounce it E A F, and I don't know if that's right or wrong.
B I Biggie Bill B A Bo.
Yeah, I want you to get the guy from Caddyshack on.
Oh yes, yes. You know what? I will get on that. That's another I'll get on that project.
That's a project. All right. We have the winner. The podcast.
Yep.
All right.
Pat.
Nice. Wow, we're an hour and 20 minutes. That's
yeah,
just a
yeah.
long one.
Yep.
We thank you guys for coming. Thanks for watching.
Thank you.
I love our meetings.
Again, thanks to Michael DaCosta for being on today too.
Mike, thanks to Mike DaCosta.
Costa.
Russ and John from Key Marathon Key.
And the kids and
the kids.
Beer with the
Pygmies down in New Guinea.
Family.
Thanks for sharing. Anyway, thanks everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you all. Thanks,
Joe.